it's about Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. And there they encountered the lame man who sat by the beautiful gate. The man was healed, and he went running and leaping and praising God. And it stirred up the Sadducees and Pharisees. And they arrested Peter and John, took them into custody. And just as a little background. Now, beginning at verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and I believe that was that he was holding on to them. He was so thankful and so appreciative that he had been healed and he had been made whole, that he was, you know, just clinging to them, perhaps had his arm around them, you know, and just was showing his gratitude to them. And it said, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want not that thy... I didn't read that right. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as unto also your rulers, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, with the mistakes that I may have made, I read those verses as my scripture lesson for today. My subject today will be repentance and remission. Repentance and remission. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul tells us in the 5th chapter and the 12th verse that as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, because all have sinned. And we're very much aware of the fact today that we are sinners, that we were born into this world as sinners, and that we stand in need of salvation. I want you to follow me as closely as you can, because I think this is important. I don't know who's lost here today. Only God knows, and the person who is lost. If you've reached the years of accountability, I'm sure that you have felt the condemnation of sin. And if you've been saved, I'm sure that you have felt the peace of God. that comes into the heart when you're saved by God's grace. So I want to emphasize, all have sinned. And death has passed upon all men. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. We're all aware of that. Death is the result of sin. And there's a song that I used to hear a long time ago, and this morning as I was meditating and studied, I copied it off of the internet, and it says, the title of the song is Sin is to Blame. See yonder man in the prison he dwells, sin is to blame, sin is to blame. List to the story he plaintively tells. Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. Many dear children are crying for bread. Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. Father's a drunkard and mother is dead. Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. Thousands refuse to accept his free grace. Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. All who reject him have chosen their place. Sin is to blame for it all. I don't know if you've ever heard that song or not, but I used to hear it when I was real young. And I know that it's true. Sin is to blame for all sorrow. If Adam had not sinned, we would be living in paradise. And that's the truth. You know, God, after he created him, placed him and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it was a perfect place. And they were perfect people. They were righteous. They were infinite. They were finitely holy. They knew no sin. But the very moment that Adam took of that forbidden fruit, it was a transgression of the law of God. He broke God's law. God said, do not eat of that fruit. And he broke God's law. He transgressed God's law. And in 1 John chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 4, the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. Now, I quoted a while ago from Romans 5 and 12, where it said, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? Because all have sinned. Now the Bible said that there is none righteous upon the earth. No, not one. And Romans 6, and I forgot the verse, but anyway, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sin entered into the world, and we're sinners, we're born sinners. We are not sinners because we overtly commit sin. We are sinners because we have a sinful nature. You know, lying and stealing and cheating and murder, you know, all of those things are the results of a problem that the human family has. It's not those breaking those laws is not the cause of the problem. It is because of a problem that we break those laws. And the problem is that when Adam sinned, He was radically changed. His heart was changed. You know, he was previously, he was a righteous man. After he had sinned, he was a sinful man. Before he sinned, you know, his heart was good. But after he sinned, his heart became evil. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, I believe it is, in verse 9. It said that the heart is desperately wicked. It is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so the problem with the human family is not that they commit overt sins. The problem is they have a sinful heart. The heart is evil. And the heart, salvation is a heart work. Salvation doesn't do anything at all to the body. Salvation is a work of the heart. And so we read in the Bible, you know, Jesus, he confirmed what I've been saying. In the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus, the Pharisees, they had been condemning the disciples because they ate without washing their hands. And Jesus said, don't you understand? I want to turn over there and read this because it is very important that I do so. In Matthew chapter 15, he said, and he called the multitude and he said, hear and understand. This is something that you need to understand. He said, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. He went on down and he said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So you see the problem that we have today in this world with all the wickedness and all the violence and all the sins that are going on around us. Those are just symptoms of a greater problem. It is the symptoms of an evil heart. It is the symptoms of a heart that is sinful. And that's why that we preach heartfelt salvation. That's why we preach that a person must be born again. That's why we preach that there must be a radical change that takes place in the heart of an individual in order to become a child of God. And so I want you to just think with me for a little bit. I don't purpose to preach at great length, but I want you to understand this. You see, it's wrong to lie. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong, to covet. You don't even have to commit an overt sin to covet. You just desire that which belongs to somebody else. and you want it for yourself, you know. And so these are just symptoms. The problem with the human family is their heart. It is deceitful and it is desperately wicked. And so Peter, he was speaking to these people. He said to them, repent and be converted. Be changed. You know, that's what converted means, be changed. We read in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe it's verse 17, if I'm not mistaken. It says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, a new creation. A conversion has been made. A radical change has taken place in the heart of a person who has been born again. And he has gone from a condemned sinner to a uncondemned sinner. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus said. He that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. The condemnation is there, you see. But when you're saved and you're born of the Spirit and you're made whole in the eyes of the Lord, and that condemnation is gone. Where there was guilt and where there was fear, that has been replaced with joy and peace and love. I'm telling you that it is a radical change in the heart of a person when they get saved. Now Peter said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out. That means that that they are done away with. When you're saved by the grace of God, God forgives your sins, and He does not hold them against you any longer. You are forgiven. You are justified in His sight. Why? Because you repented and you trusted in His Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to notice another passage of Scripture, if God will help me to do so. You know, we read in the Bible where in 2 Peter, where Peter said that by these exceeding great and precious promises, you are made partakers of the divine nature. You see, we had before salvation, we had a sinful nature. After salvation and after conversion, we have been made partakers of the divine nature, the love of God. Love is the very essence of God. In fact, 1 John chapter 3 says, God is love. And that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And that makes us a new creature, a new creation. That makes us something we've never, ever been before. Something we've never, ever I've been before. And God's, He requires repentance for remission of sins. You know, there are many passages of Scripture on repentance. Jesus said, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and verses 5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's the words of Jesus. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God See if I can get it right. It says, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Apostle Paul at Mars Hill, he viewed those statues of idol gods. And he says, God winked at this ignorance in times past. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is essential to remission of sins. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to repent? Well, to repent of your sins means to be sorry for your sins. I really believe that when a person reaches the years of accountability and the Holy Spirit gives them the knowledge of being lost, and he does, he is the one who lets every child know when they become accountable for their sins. They have the knowledge of being a sinner. And the Word of God. You know, this is a part where preachers play. You know, the preaching of the Word. The Bible says that the law of God, the commandments, is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. When you receive the knowledge that, you know, that you have broken the law of God, you're a sinner, you're condemned, and you need salvation, when that knowledge comes to your heart, it'll cause you to feel the guilt of being a sinner. I know by experience. I know by the Bible. I know that's the way it is. When you feel the condemnation of sin, my friend, that's not just a figment of your imagination. That's God dealing with your soul. It's God letting you know you're lost and you need to be saved. Now, you know, the knowledge of being a sinner and being condemned, that'll bring remorse. Now, remorse is a word we don't use a whole lot, but I think it's fitting that I use that here. The term in the Bible, you know, David said, I found trouble and sorrow. That's remorse. He was sorry for being a sinner. With some, that trouble is very, very heavy. That burden that comes with the knowledge of being lost can be very heavy. And that will cause a person to be sorry for their sins. Now, the Bible says this, Psalms chapter 34, maybe verse 18, I'm not sure. But the Bible says that the Lord is nigh unto him that be of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's being remorseful for your sins. That's being sorry for your sins. That's being sorry that you have transgressed the laws of God. Well, what do you do when you become convicted of wrongdoing? Well, if you do what's right, you go to the person you wronged and you say, I want you to forgive me. Now, this may be oversimplification. I don't mean to do that, but I want you to understand. I want you to understand. When God lets you know you're a lost sinner, and separated from God. You need to come before God, and you need to acknowledge your sins to God. And you need to ask God to forgive you and to save you and to give you peace with God. And so, when God forgives you, that cancels all of your sins. It cancels them. They're covered by the blood. That's another way of saying it, isn't it? They're covered by the blood. They're put behind the back of God where He can't see them. You know, He casts them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. What a wonderful thing to be saved. I'm going to say repentance is an action of the heart. I mean an action of the heart. It's a work down in there where the problem's at, you know. And so, because of the knowledge of sin, you feel guilty before God. Condemned. And you come to God in your, with your broken heart, your contrite spirit, your spirit crushed because you're a sinner and because you're in danger of eternal damnation. When you talk about salvation, we're talking about eternal things. You know, heaven is real. And hell is real also. And so, what do? You turn to God. So many people, when they feel that conviction, they feel that guilt, they want to run from it, want to get away from it. You never get rid of it running from it. You'll never get saved running from God. The only way you can get saved is to come to God. I have a verse of Scripture to prove that. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. This is what it said. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord and unto our God. For He will have mercy upon him and will abundantly pardon. Now folks, I believe that's a good definition of repentance. Turning from your sins. Turning to God. Seeking the Lord. Asking for salvation. Asking for forgiveness and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us that we might receive the forgiveness of sins or the remission of sins, that our sins might be remitted. I pray God will bless the message today. I felt this very strongly. I felt it very strongly. You know, you can preach on repentance in a lot of different ways. Read in the Bible about Nineveh. God said to Jonah, I said a while ago, the preacher's part. God spoke to Jonah. Said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to cry out against their sins, their wickedness. Their wickedness has come up before me. I want you to go tell them about it. Well, that's the only part that a preacher has in it. It's just telling you about it. Telling you what God said, you know. Well, Jonah said, I'd rather take a vacation. And so he bought him a ticket on a boat. And he started the other direction. I really believe today there's too many people going in the wrong direction. Too many saved people going in the wrong direction. Well, you know, God, the Bible says in the book of Romans, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So God didn't forget what He said to Jonah. He is out there on the ship, and he thought, well, I'll take me a little nap. And he went down in the hole, and he went to sleep. And it wasn't long till one of the worst storms that those mariners had ever experienced came up. And they were about to lose the ship. They did everything they could. They throwed over the cargo. They throwed over the tackling. They throwed over everything they could to save the ship. And she is still about to go under. And somebody remembered that fella that got on the ship and went downstairs to take a nap. And they went down and they woke him. Said, arise, old sleeper. Call on your God. When you get in trouble, Brother Mike, we need to call on God, don't we? Amen. That's the lesson he told, give us in Sunday school this morning. Call on God. And they said, who are you? Where are you from? Where are you going? Well, he said, I'm a prophet of the Lord. And I'm running from God. That I know, I understand that this is my fault. I'm running from God. He said, just throw me overboard. Well, they didn't want to do that. But finally, they thought that was the only thing that was going to save them, so they throwed him over. And God had prepared a fish to swallow him up. And he was in the belly of the whale, Jesus said, for 3 days and three nights. And while he was down there in the belly of that whale, he was calling on God. And he declared, salvation is of the Lord. He realized that was his only hope. And so the fish swam to the shore and spit him out. And he started to Nineveh. And the Bible said that he cried out. And this was his message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I don't know what else he said. I wish I had a record of that. He probably said a lot more. But at least he said that. And when they heard it, they believed that it was a message from God. Didn't say they believed Jonah. Said they believed God. It's important for you to believe the preacher. Important for you to believe the Bible. Important for you to take it to heart. It's written not only to Billy, it's written to you too. It's applicable to every one of us. And we need to believe it. And so the Bible said that the king came off his throne. He proclaimed a fast. He said, let not man nor beast eat or drink water. And he said, let them put on sackcloth and set in ashes, which was a token of remorse and sorrow for their sins. And the Bible said that God saw what they did, and he repented of what he said he would do. Now, when you repent of your sins, you come out from under the curse that Adam put us under. You come out from under it. And God can do that. Because he's God, and he's just, and he's holy. And so they repented. How do I know they repented? Jesus said they did. He said in the Gospel of Matthew, he said they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here, having reference to Jesus. He's greater than Jonah. And so, repentance is essential to remission of sins. There's more to being saved than just saying, well, I'm going to turn around. and I'm going to start living right. Be good if you do that, but that won't save you. That won't save you. You have to come to God. You have to come through Jesus. You have to come acknowledging your sins and asking the Lord to forgive you and save you. And all the time, looking to Jesus. Putting your faith and your trust in what Jesus did. Well, what did Jesus do? The Bible said that He took upon Himself our sins. He died for our sins. You have to trust Jesus. You have to trust what Jesus did. He died, and His death is sufficient for the forgiveness of sins. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. Now I'm done. I pray God will bless the message. I want to see people get saved. And no matter how young you are, if you've reached the point that you know that you're lost and you feel the guilt and condemnation of sin, you're as lost as you'll ever be. And you need to seek the Lord. You need to get right with God. Because you're going to die. And after death, there's the judgment. And if your name's not written in the book of life, when you die and stand before God, you'll be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and forever. Now you say, preacher, you just oughtn't to say things like that. You're liable to scare the kids. Well, I'm not trying to scare the kids. I certainly wouldn't want to do that. But I want you to be aware of what God said. It's what God says. And that's really important. So today, no matter how old you are, you don't get too old to get saved. You know, I just recently heard of somebody that was over 100 years old that got saved. That's wonderful. Too bad they put it off so long. They wasted their life. They could have been bringing honor and glory to God. Could have been helping other people find the Lord. But I tell you, better late than never. Better late than never. Brother Wayne, let's sing a verse of a song. Somebody might need to pray today. I hope you'll take serious this sermon. Not because it's me. You know, I'm nobody. I know that. You know that. You know, all I am is just a man that's been saved by the grace of God and called to preach. That's all I am. I don't have, you know, I don't have anything to glory in, you know. But I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. Let's stand. Let's sing a verse or two of invitation.
165.